You guys, this is the episode we have been waiting for. We finally got two exciting dinners coming up, and we finally get the Dajik date we have all been so eager to see. Stay tuned, and we'll dive into all of that and so much more.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let's...
Hey, everyone. Hey, welcome to This Is Us. Season 4, Episode 7, The Dinner and the Date. I'm your host, Haley Graves, and joining me tonight, we are sadly missing Danny Royce and Candace Cruz. However, the ever-so-fabulous Paris Rose, who has been here since day one on this panel, she is awesome. She's here tonight.
Yes, hello. Hey, guys. Good to see you guys.
And joining us, coming back from actually our week two panel, is Miss Bethany Jean.
Hey guys, what's up?
And Bethany, if you all remember, she had some great insight for us, given her day job, into what all went into Rebecca's older look. Do you remember doing that?
I forgot about that. Yes. I also remember critiquing Tess's haircut.
Yes, exactly. So that's what Bethany's going to bring that
and
to
I
the panel today.
And I felt bad about it ever since, just so everyone knows. Every time I see her, I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. I do wish it was longer on top, but
and
I shouldn't have said it.
And our newbie to the panel for tonight, but not a newbie to This Is Us, is Mr. John Blake himself.
Hello, yes. Thank you for making it clear I'm not a newbie in life, at least.
Absolutely. But to put you on the spot, who's your favorite This Is Us character?
Tough call, Jack, though, for
okay.
sure. I mean,
okay,
he's definitely set up that way.
Yeah.
There are a lot of characters that I like.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite child. I'm sure Jack has that issue as well.
For sure. Well, tonight, everyone, we are going to talk about the ever so infamous dinners, beginning with our dinner in our throwback timeline, moving on into the Dajik, which we have a ship name now for them, their date, and then we'll move on into the huge dinner between Deja, Malik, and their families. But we will also have our special segment, which is our tearjerker moments. We'll be talking a little bit about news and gossip and then going on into our predictions. But before we get into all of that, I gotta know, guys, what are your overall thoughts? Paris, start it off.
Oh, I absolutely loved this episode. It was so cheeky. I think Bethany said that. I'm stealing your word. It was so cheeky. I loved it. I love the awkward dinners. Yep. And I truly love Beth's episode. She was the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Because
right.
Malik's mom was, testing my nerves.
MVP.
So, yeah.
MVP.
It was really cool to see Beth shine in such her... She has such a strong presence.
Yeah.
And it kind of catches you off guard because she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, you want her... Like, you think she's going to be really... just like sweet because she has this like very melodic voice and she's a dancer and then she's like, no, she will cut you. Mm. And I love it.
I actually really like this episode, which is interesting because Malik and Deja's storylines are not my favorite typically.
Okay.
But how they sort of interwove the Jack Lawrence storyline with theirs, like there was so much duality in like how things were going down and the awkwardness and the meeting, meet the parents.
Yeah.
All those scenarios were so cool, and to see the situation sort of mirrored and flipped was awesome. I thought it was super well written.
Man, I already like having you here, JB, because that's normally my line. I'm always the one that notices like the parallels and just like the mirroring timeline. So I like that you brought that up.
Totally.
But for me, I loved this episode. I really did. Yeah. I got so close to crying on multiple occasions. I'm not even going to lie. Yes, she really thought I was about to. And for me, though, the one I'm proud of is Deja. I think I touch on her and just her lines so often, but I was really proud of her this episode.
Yeah.
You know, she stood up for herself as she always does. She's very wise, and she handled these situations so well for someone who's supposed to be really in eighth grade, but is a freshman because we know she skipped a grade.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to dive into actually our throwback dinner, going back to young Randall, as well as Mr. Lawrence and Jack, and how this dinner went down. What did y'all think just this dinner as a whole?
I understood where Jack was coming from.
Yeah.
I understood he was being territorial with Randall. Yeah. It made sense, but I also really liked that Rebecca understood, like, no, Jack, You have to take a step back. He needs this. He needs both you guys in his life.
Yeah.
And I think it's really hard as a parent to see that because he felt that there was this competition.
Yeah.
And I felt like as a dad, I'm not a dad or a mom, but I can understand where Jack is coming from. But yeah. I was really happy that Rebecca was able to tell him, like, hey, come on.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Randall needs this.
Yeah. Really reeled him in.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting because this show kind of puts Jack on such a pedestal, uh-huh. you know, because he's being remembered.
Yeah,
so we see very little of his flaws.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool to see him just being human.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's jealous. Yeah. It's silly, but he is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I even really liked how, even going back to the beginning of the dinner, and when we're first introduced to both, I guess, the men of the situation, and I really enjoyed that they both were already kind of like in this mindset to one-up each other. Oh, you know, they're both, and both wives call their husbands out for it. You know, Rebecca is like, why are you getting this dressed up? You're putting on a sports coat. Like, what's so special about this dinner? And then you have Mr. Lawrence's wife say, like, are you trying to be Corey X? Like, you know, poking fun. And so I thought it was really cool to see, again, going in that mirroring, that the wives were the ones that were like, who are these men?
Yeah, you know, the level-headed ones. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. Well, I loved how in that dinner, it was about the parents and the dads more specifically having like an agenda, something that they were trying to live up to. Yeah. And I think they were both bringing that to the dinner table, no pun intended. And I think they both didn't realize like how much they were fighting for it. And obviously, like, the timeline, it being in the past, I think that was more a characteristic of sort of how things were, like, back in that day. Mm-hmm. A little bit more, at least. I mean, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see them both realize it. I mean, I think those characters are very, you know, obviously Jack, as you said, is always put on a pedestal as, like, a perfect person. Mr. Lawrence seems like a stand-up guy as well. So it's cool to see characters that you would picture as being sort of flawless in a lot of ways, kind of brush over, bulldoze over, not even realize sort of their own flaws and have, like you guys said, their wives put it into perspective and be the voices of reason a little bit when they were like, oh, I am actually doing that.
Yeah, and I mean, you could realistically say, speaking of being put on a pedestal, like, Randall has put Mr. Lawrence on a pedestal.
Oh, right.
You know, and what I really thought was ultimately special about this was, again, I love it when Rebecca kind of does these I told you so moments to Jack. You know, like, she lays it down for him and tells him what's up, basically. Mm-hmm. And she does a great job at it during this scene especially. But then not only that, it's just their relationship again coming through strong. I love how we continue to see that. And I even more so liked that Jack was able to take that feedback and establish it. And I really enjoy the fact that the writers are including this struggle that Jack has, and that, but he's willing to work on it. He wants to know more about Randall and things like that. So
Right. That's a really good point. I loved how they touched on that, but they didn't make it like all about race. I think that's really cool. I mean, clearly it's something that Jack, I think, has always thought about because he is, I mean, regardless of race, he's just the adopted child. So that alone. Yeah. And I think that was kind of a point that they were making is, you know, obviously there are cultural things. And and if you have that to, like, share, totally cool. I think that's always helpful. But it's not necessary. I think what their point was is that all you really need is to love your kids and show an interest in what they're interested in. Like, at the dinner table. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, their conversations at the dinner table weren't about, like, Black history. It was, like, dinosaurs and geek stuff. Like, the poetry. Like, all that stuff is really, like, supersedes race. Yeah.
I even appreciated, and let me know if y'all agree here, that, you know, how Rebecca was like, you will always be his father. Like, if you think that this is about winning your son's love, you will win every single day. And the fact that Mr. Lawrence then confirms that, and he's like, the fact that he even acknowledges, like, I will be a very small part of your son's life, someone that he will vaguely remember of the importance of me, like, he even tells Jack that. Yeah. And I thought that was really cool, the way the writers did that.
Right.
I thought it was really interesting that the first episode, Mr. Lawrence gave him the slip.
Yeah.
Like, he got in trouble.
Yeah. For the shoes.
Yeah, for the shoes.
Tough love.
Yeah. And I just remember being like, oh, I thought he would be kind of an ally of his.
Yeah.
And, but then I was like, really? He kind of given him a warning? Like, yeah. He wrote him up for safe, but then he ended up... It was kind of interesting to watch. They both idolize each other.
Yeah.
Like, Mr. Lawrence is just as in love with...
Yeah,
because baby Randall is baby Randall is.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, we did find out that the whole reason why Mr. Lawrence went to this school and was he knew the situation going in, and then so when he saw Randall, he was overjoyed. We could say,
yeah. Oh yeah, I'm gonna have to beg to differ with you, JB, because race is a big issue.
Totally.
Like you were saying, it's not that necessary, but it actually is necessary. Like this whole festival. This Afro festival that the Pearsons did not know about. It's awesome. They can tell that you need the father's love, but understanding who you are as a person, your culture is big.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. Yeah. And I think it's only positive for anybody. I just mean like it doesn't, like you don't have, like Jack doesn't have to pretend to be black. I mean, encouragement. Totally. Like, he can encourage him to, like, learn all about that. Mm-hmm. I just mean a lot of times I think people get confused where they're like, oh, well, I have to do this. And that's where lines get blurred when they're, like, pretending to be something they're not.
Yeah. Got it, yeah.
The whole family should meet Randall where he's at.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They should all have a sincere interest in helping him cultivate, you know.
Yeah. So then would you say that it's almost... to Randall's betterment for him to go to, say, a festival like this with his family or with the Lawrences?
I was thinking they should all go together.
Yeah.
I think so too. Like, the fact that wasn't even an option.
Yeah, it was either or.
Yeah.
It's a festival.
Yeah.
Everyone can
all go. Yeah, it's once a month. It'd be fun for the whole fam.
Yeah. I thought that one of the wives would suggest that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like either Rebecca or Mr. Lawrence's wife, because they were the level-headed ones.
Yeah. Right. But sometimes there's kind of a... teacher student relationship boundary.
Yeah.
So I didn't know, like, would a family go with a teacher and his wife, or is that kind of like
Bethany, do you think that his wife, when she kind of reached out and like basically telling him to stop, that do you think that was her approaching it from a reading the room perspective or a hey, you're his teacher, step back?
I think it was both.
Okay.
I think she was just really like, simmer down, this isn't your kid, for starters. Yeah. Like, can you tell your dad, like, his dad would like to take him.
Yes.
You know, but also, I mean, you do have to be careful how close you get to students.
Yeah.
You just do, sadly.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, you're going to know this. Like, what was going through your mind in that situation?
Well, my child isn't old enough to have these sorts of relationships yet, so I can't really... touch on it, any experience. But I was just thinking to my own adolescence, like, I don't have any teachers that would have invited my family to go to a festival.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right. Do you think you'd be okay with that if, like, when they go to school, that is on the table?
Will
you
invite them? I also think, and this makes me sad to say, but I think because he's a male teacher, even more so.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, men. Yeah.
It's fair to have those thoughts. Yeah. That's why I wanted your opinion, because you, out of all of us, have the most valid one.
If it had been a female teacher with maybe a female student, maybe it would have been a little bit more like, I'll meet you at the festival or something. But with boys, you just have to have boundaries.
Man, so just no mentors for boys I guess. That's cool.
Sorry.
I didn't mean it like that. Right.
I just think for the protection of everyone, because this is obviously a good-natured man, you just can't have too much out-of-school relationship with students.
For sure.
It can cause speculation.
Well, speaking of festivals and that are helping to spread culture, we're going to start talking about Deja and Malik's date, which is all about Deja learning about the Philly culture. But first, we have a special announcement for all of you watching live. There are about 50 days until Christmas. I don't know if you can believe that. I know we're jumping the gun.
I have to go right now.
It hasn't even been Thanksgiving yet. But if you're feeling in the holiday spirit, you do not even have to wait. Kick off Christmas season with the world's first ever Christmas Con. It's presented by That's For Entertainment from November 8th through the 10th in Edison, New Jersey, right outside of New York City. You hear that? Edison, New Jersey, November 8th through the 10th. Get your Christmas con on. There will be appearances from, yes, Chad Michael Murray, Danica McKellar, and for all of you Mean Girls fans, Gretchen and Aaron themselves. That's no Lacey Chabert and Jonathan Bennett, which, yes, that's it. Very fetch. So there will be... And to make you want to go even more, there'll be gingerbread wars, there's going to be an ugly sweater contest, all the things that you need to really get in the Christmas spirit as if you need it even more, because let's be honest, once Halloween is over, it's all Christmas. Yes, we will be providing coverage and interviews right here on AfterBuzz TV if, you know, you can't make it to New Jersey. So make sure you tune in. Once again, that's November 8th through the 10th. And in the meantime, we have a brand new Christmas channel here at AfterBuzz TV called Christmas 24/7. So make sure that you're getting caught up on all of that Christmas content, and we'll be right here to bring it to you. So... Speaking of Christmas, we know that that's a part of culture as well. So we're going to jump right into this date with Deja and Malik. I love that Randall gave them a ship name. That was one of my favorite moments.
It was
moments.
So random.
Yes, because he was just like, Deja.
Malaysia.
Like,
yeah, I was like, Malaysia
not bad.
Was so good.
I mean,
yeah.
But that's kind of a name.
Right.
Place.
Exactly.
So, Dajik works.
Totally.
Yes, Dajik works. So let's talk about their date, beginning with them on the bus. So, what were y'all's thoughts? Because for me, I'm like, ooh, this is the moment.
I know, you were excited.
Like, it was cool to know, because I just took myself back. And this whole scene, every time we saw them going to a new place on this date, I was just putting myself back in my freshman shoes, because I can't lie, I was a freshman and I dated a guy. My first boyfriend was a junior in high school. So, I can definitely relate to this whole situation. And, you know, so when you have this guy that's sitting there and he's like, hey, let's skip school.
Yeah.
Like, it's those butterflies of like, oh, should I do it? Should I do it? And the fact they did it, what were y'all thinking whenever Deja said yes?
I'm such a goody two-shoes. I was like, no, go to school, girl.
Uh-uh.
Like,
I would have skipped.
I was so not for it. And I was actually disappointed, as Randall says, in Malik, because he is a good student. He's a smart boy, even though he's a teen dad.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is going to make them judge you even more because you're already a teen dad and now you're making Deja skip school. I just knew it was going to blow up in their faces.
Well, that was a guarantee.
Yeah.
It to blow up in their faces, but I still would have gone. I would have taken the risk.
I was both. Like, the parents in me was like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the little girl in me was like, you have to do it.
Yes. Agreed.
So
agreed.
Exciting.
Yeah. So.
And I knew she was going to say that was the best day of my life.
Yeah.
Because
let's
be honest, she's had a pretty tough life.
Yeah.
That
absolutely.
Would be a really fun day.
Yeah. So. Give us your perspective,
on
our panel.
I was just kind of curious to see, like, where it would go, because I think, you know, we've seen a lot of Malik that's, like, very upstanding citizen.
Yep.
We've also seen him work at, you know, when he was working at his dad's shop, like, sort of come up to a guy who's clearly less than reputable for, you know, whatever under-the-table type jobs there. So I was kind of curious, like, how far down the rabbit hole they would go. I mean, obviously, as we now know, Malik's, like, an pillar of the community.
Yeah. Yes.
So it was cool to kind of watch. I guess I was just curious why they didn't just do that on a weekend.
That's what I was thinking.
I think it was more, because think back to, like, when you're that age and you're just so excited to hang out with someone,
right.
And it's not the easiest. And I think they both knew, well, not necessarily Malik, but Deja for sure knew that she had to go a roundabout way to hang out with him.
Right.
And so I think in that moment, she was just like, I really want to hang out with this guy.
Touché.
Like, I'm
going to
go and do this.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated the fact this whole date, really this whole episode, the writers gave us more about Malik than we ever knew. You know, I appreciated how they let us know that this was the first time that Malik had skipped school in 3 years. So it's not like he just does this with every girl. And then especially we start seeing how special Deja truly is when they go to Max's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, side note, curveball here.
Grandpa has a sandwich.
I know.
That's Virgil,
awesome.
The Virgil.
Which
awesome.
Is so cute. And this was a weird thing that
Virgil.
I noticed.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
A weird thing I noticed was, I'm pretty sure this is the exact same cheesesteak spot that, I don't know if this is a real place in Philadelphia, but it was the exact same cheesesteak spot that was in Creed 2. Or maybe Creed 1. One of the Creeds. No, that's Creed. Where
well, there's definitely some famous ones. Philly fans out there.
No, exactly. Like, let us know if that was a real spot, because that's what I for sure noticed. Right. But weird. I'm very observant. But
on the cheesesteak note, yes. Really quick, though, Randall did offer to take them to cheesesteaks, like, two episodes ago. So I don't know what Deja is
on about. It wasn't cool, because it's Randall.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah. Like, it's not as fair authentic.
Enough. I was hoping that this whole episode would be buttoned up with them saying, hey, Malik, will you give us a tour of the city from your perspective? Like, the whole family. This could have been something. He could be educating all of them.
You would take. I don't know if I would. Being a child, teen dad or not, I don't think I would take this kid that seriously and be like, take my family on a tour, little child.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Like, he's still a kid.
It was the best day of her life.
Yeah, but know, again, but really, you have to remember, they also didn't know about, like, Randall and Beth don't know about the extent of Malik and Deja's relationship. Yeah. To their knowledge, they aren't seeing each other. They told her she can't. They're not seeing each other. And naive parent land in dream world that parents go to. But
like, by the end, they said, we want to get to know him better and under supervision. Right. That's why I was like, well, maybe
future episodes.
I love the ending. When they came, I was like, taking parenting notes like for future me. But I think, you know, a lot of parents make the mistake because they're always worrying for good reason. I mean, that's the whole role of being a parent.
Yeah.
But I think what they're showing was that we oftentimes let that kind of lead our, you know, interpretation of what's going on without actually asking from the kids themselves. And so, like, when they had that moment of, like, we want to know about him, like, do you, can you tell us about him?
Yeah.
Getting that perspective was so cool. It was like, 2019, people love this.
100%. Yeah. And I mean, I've said it enough that we're giving such kudos to the writer of this episode, so I might as well say her name. It's Kay O'Yagan. She did a phenomenal job writing this episode, so we just need to give her an actual shout out by her name. But yes, but good with job, that, man. I just loved how they went to meaningful spots. You know, so they went and got cheesesteaks.
Yes.
And I got all giddy inside when he walked her back out and walked her back in just to have her get that warm welcome.
That was really sweet.
That really showed me how special Deja is to Malik. And then their next stop, they go to the mural. And it's this beautiful mural for her to see, like, really their culture and what Philadelphia is about. Then the ice cream. And then they go to his favorite spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a girl and you're going on this whole day, this magical day, and he says he's going to take you to his favorite spot that he only really goes to with his daughter, and it was his grandparents who always took him there. I mean, come on. That's like a dream location.
It was super cute. I have to say, I was like, oh my gosh, teen me would have been totally in love with
that's
Malik.
That's what I'm saying.
For sure.
Teen you. I was taking notes for dating me. Like, hey, I was like, Malik,
hey,
dude.
I think it's so
when
funny.
You dropped that line, like at the mural, I was like, dude, whoa.
You're like, Malik, can I be your wingman? You're like, really.
Yes.
But the thing that's weird to me is Malik looks like younger than Deja to me.
I agree.
You know,
he does look
boys always did mature slower than girls. Like, boys always end up being shorter than girls. They girls get more filled out. They become more womanlike, and boys still look like little beans.
Do you know how old Deja is in real life?
In real life?
Real life Deja, I don't know.
I have no idea.
In the show, she's a freshman, you said?
But she's like 13, because she's
very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Like, she could age up.
For sure.
You know,
yeah, I think
older
she's 17 or 18 in real life.
Okay.
Yeah. She, but like, again, just Deja showing her maturity in the situation. And what did y'all think when, obviously, it was one of my favorite moments of the episode, when Malik, like, it's just that scene of him slowly inching his way to her hand, and it starts with the pinky, like,
I got butterflies.
I did.
Come on, go faster.
Yes.
I was so confused as to why she pulled away. I thought she was, like, insecure or something. Yeah. I didn't realize it would be that she just wasn't sure about him. You really like me?
Yeah.
What we know about Deja is she's had to be incredibly guarded her entire life.
Right.
And that point of contact of just a finger was like, this is too real for her.
And what did you think about her expressing herself? Because she does actually a great job of just telling it how it is. So, like, when Deja said her truth to Malik, I was like, I did not have the maturity at that age to be able to emotionally say what I was thinking.
She said it to his face, like, I like you, and I just don't know how to feel about this. And she talked about her mom. I'm like, whoa, this is
how
a
does she
big
have
step.
That, like, all worked out.
Yes, she's like, literally, our generation would have been like, so would you say we're talking?
It's funny because she's a girl of few words, but she's very articulate.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes, you can tell that there's so much that she thinks about everything she does. Right. And I really praise her for being 13, 14 freshman in high school being able to tell this boy, like, hey, I have big plans for my life. I don't need you getting in the way. I was like, literally snaps.
Yeah, she's super precocious, which is awesome. And I totally forgot, like, how young she really is. Because when they're in the park and, like, slowly about to hold hands, like, super scandalous, I was like, okay, that's...
They're in high school.
I don't know if that's enough to, like, get up, like, in a fuss.
Yeah.
But definitely thinking back with the age gap, like, that would make a lot more sense. It's just, like, it wrapped up in how mature she is. And clearly she's been through a lot, but for her to be so grounded as well. Yeah. I mean, probably a tribute to... some of the parenting that Randall and Beth are doing. You know, I think they do kind of get wound up in their own ways, as we discussed. But hopefully, I think they're a good... Everything at the end of the day in their household, like, is worked out. They have a good communication situation.
Yeah, I really just respected the overall fact that she was able to say, this has happened to me in my life, and be able to pinpoint exactly why she was feeling the way she was feeling. Mm-hmm. And she let us know because of the men in her mother's life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're gonna say something?
No,
yeah. Always. Oh, yeah, but I don't know.
I was gonna say, that's why I was so upset. You know, Deja is so amazing. I was so upset with Malik's mom for thinking that she was the fast one.
Yes.
I'm like, she was nervous by him holding her hand.
Oh.
Like, your son's the fast one. He's the one with the kids. So I was so offended for her.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, I couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah,
because she's so fast.
Yeah, it was interesting that we were talking about the mirroring. Yep. I thought it was cool how they had, for the Malik Deja thing, the moms were kind of more emotional about the situation and invested. Yeah, at first. Yeah.
But was anyone else drinking wine in the closet with Beth? Because I was in my heart.
I was beating up Malik's mom in my head.
Hand me that.
Yes, okay, so let's completely dive in now. So they've been on this date. We know it's the best day of Deja's life. Now it's the dinner. So where we left off was Deja came home from school. Randall's coming in with tamales that he's excited about. And then Beth lays down the news that she skipped school. He's disappointed. He was like, I thought that you weren't allowed, or we forbid you to see him. And she was like, oh, are you going to ban me from going to school too? In the sassiest Deja fashion, which I also respected low-key. And so with that, let's go back to these initial intro conversations. When you see Beth and Randall getting ready, and then on the mirroring side, we see Malik's parents getting ready for this dinner.
Ooh, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Like, so basically we saw this was when Beth started preaching her mantra. You know, these are my open shoes for an open mind.
Amazing.
Yeah, so she starts preaching her mantra, and so she's like the loose, like, okay, we're going to see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And then on their end, that's how the dad was when they're in the car. And then Randall was the one that was all like, oh, we need to all get in the same boat, be in the same boat, you know, like, and that's how the mother was. So we see that immediately. But then when they arrive and when they get to the door and it's the shush, I know that you all had thoughts about the shush in this first moment of meeting. Elaborate on what really transpired there.
It was just the rudest gesture. I couldn't imagine a more negative way to enter someone's home who's invited you for dinner than to shush them and not even extend your hand. No one said, hi, I'm so-and-so. Yeah. Thank you for having us. Just incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
It was so negative. Part of me was like, why'd you guys even go to dinner?
That's what I was. We're talking about the shush as soon as the parents entered and she says, shh, the baby's sleeping. So that's what we're talking about.
I mean, and she could have gone about it very differently.
Yeah.
I've had a baby. I've entered rooms with a sleeping baby.
Yeah.
Like, you can't extend your hand and be like, hi, we're talking quiet.
Exactly.
But instead, she's just like, shh, and just, like, walks right in.
Lets herself in.
Weird. And I feel like they later on address this elephant in the room, which is the baby. But I feel like she brought the elephant in by making the baby be a big deal to begin with.
And P.S., just to be clear, the elephant isn't Janelle the baby.
Yes, yeah.
The elephant is the fact that he has gotten a girl pregnant before, and he's now parenting.
Exactly. Like,
and trying to date their freshman daughter.
Yeah, exactly.
Malik's life is the elephant.
Yeah.
Malik's mom, the precious baby girl.
Yes. Deja. Yeah. Like, she was like, well, doesn't she come from the hood? Doesn't she come from a troubled past? How long have you been with her?
Yeah, because that's totally her fault.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It made me so mad, and I'm glad Beth quickly picked up on that, like, spice that Malik's mom was throwing down.
Yeah.
Kelly's her name.
Yes.
Totally. Because it was quick. Like, immediate, I'm just going to, like,
shoot.
We're just gonna squash that. Squash it.
No, I absolutely agree. Well played. Yeah. Just to be devil's advocate, though. Okay. We're turning it back. I feel like if that's all you knew, like maybe, you know, as a parent, if that's all I knew, like he's hanging out with, I mean, just the main bullet points of Deja's past, like I would definitely have some preconceived notions. I think, you know, that whole shush situation shows like how poorly that can kind of run our own minds.
Yeah.
Because that's definitely not how you should enter anyone's home. Yeah. Ever.
And I think that really set Beth off. You know, I think that was like her first impression of them.
Reason.
And she was just like, well. And then when they denied the wine, she was like, this is going to be a tough dinner.
You can find me in the closet.
Yes. But on the flip side, Randall changed his tune real quick once talking with Malik's father. I really think, I don't know if you all noticed it, but it was like one of my favorite moments in this episode, and it was when Malik's father started talking about how big of a romantic that Malik is, and he starts saying all of these wonderful accolades about his son and standing up for his son, and I think Randall started to see a lot of himself in Malik, and that's what made him change his tune.
Right.
Well, see, that's a normal way for this
person.
He came out with positivity while Kelly, Malik's mom, came out with negativity.
Yeah.
And that's why their conversations went two different routes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was so annoyed by that.
Something I love about Randall is I feel like no matter how fired up he gets, he's very easily persuaded.
Yeah. He has an open mind.
He's really an open mind,
Because he's just such a good-natured personality.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it takes much for Randall to be like, okay, I'm arms down. We're good now.
Well, yeah, I think we've seen him sort of take moments to take a deep breath and, like, address a situation from a step back.
Yeah.
You know, clearly he's now a councilman, so he kind of does need to do that more often, I think, just as his job. You know, obviously when he was running for politics, not an easy, like, work industry at all. So I think he definitely has a potential to get fired up. You know, we've seen that with Beth's mom all the time. But I think he's very conditioned at kind of calming himself and going through a mental process to be more objective. But I love that moment, you know, when Malik's dad was saying all that good stuff about Malik, but also that he doesn't really do this with all the girls. Like, when he says someone special, like Deja is special, like that actually means something. And I think that was a main moment that the dads like bonded on, and were like, oh, snap.
And I could imagine as a father, like, that has to make you feel good, because we know that Randall thinks the world of Deja.
Right.
We know that he also agrees that Deja is very special. So I feel like that was just comforting to him to know that this young man that wants to date his daughter also sees her value and sees how precious and special she is.
Definitely. I mean, as a father of none at the moment, if and when I ever have a daughter, like, I know that is going to be like nonstop terror forever.
Yeah.
And that line, you know, that Randall dropped, like, when you're going to have babies when you're 50 is like a real thing, I feel like, for all dads. Like, being a guy and knowing how guys are, I feel like that it's like such a nightmare of a situation.
Yes.
Letting anybody get close to your daughters.
And I definitely, the dinner definitely continued to escalate. So then we had the situation where they're praying, but they're poking at each other about their faith.
Yes.
Which, okay, like,
which, by the way, they share the same faith.
Yes,
right.
It's
exactly.
Just one goes to church more.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they just poke how
which
they
so
do
it. Funny.
It was very strange. And then not only that, but then their other daughters did not help the situation whatsoever, saying, oh, this is like Deja's the stepmom.
Oh,
like, it just
was like the comedic relief.
Yes,
and Kevin was the comedic relief in the past.
Yes, like, it was just, really bad timing there. And then that obviously escalated Beth to calling the dinner off, making them get down to the nitty-gritty to really discuss what they came there to discuss. So what were y'all's thoughts when Beth did that?
I was like, get her, Beth. It's time. She's been disrespecting.
She
was so disrespectful to them in their home. Mm-hmm. And they trying to be very understanding. And they, both had preconceived notions about each child.
Yeah.
But Beth wasn't like, well, I know your son is a teen dad, while like Kelly was throwing that immediately in.
She didn't say that first.
So, yeah.
But she did say
basically, she talked about her past first. So I just think that it was time for Beth to be like, you know, this is my house. I've been nice.
Yeah.
But now let's get to
it. Hey,
right.
And
also, let's not forget that what Malik's mom was doing was blaming the victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Malik is at fault. He did get a girl pregnant. Yes. Like, sorry, that's an actual, like, point for we should be concerned about your kid's intentions. Yeah. She doesn't have any fault in, excuse me, in being a homeless kid.
Like, yeah, that's true. It's more like a circumstance.
Like, she's the victim. So you're blaming the victim? Like,
exactly, for her circumstances.
Oh, which is just, I was so fired up.
Yeah, and then I like, though, what the writers did, and they kind of brought us full circle. They kept dropping breadcrumbs about just both their situations. You know, Malik's dad kept referring to, oh, I trick-or-treated. I always want to know what the inside of these houses look like, to calling him councilman, that he kept dropping these things. And then Randall says, hey, Beth, I think these people think we're bougie. And she was like, we kind of are. Like, that was a little comic relief in there. But then ultimately comes down to his dad physically removing his shirt, showing him his tattoos.
Were you guys scared? Saying,
no, I was like, did you think he was like gonna fight?
I'm like, wait, he's more calm than I thought he was gonna fight.
It was weird.
It was a really weird
job on the writer's behalf because that was definitely like
Randall thought it was
But I mean, but it was deep. But it was deep. He came at him and he said, "You can either see me or you can see me for my mistakes. Like, basically, the choice is yours." And that was also reflective of, hey, you can either, again, like you said, you can see my son or you can see him for his past. And instead, like, he's this amazing kid that you should get to know. And I thought that whole scene was just captivating.
Even with that being said, even though Malik is an amazing child, he's still someone who is sexually active, while Deja is nervous about holding hands.
Yeah.
So obviously, as a parent, I would say she's still not ready for a Malik.
I think there's still more to that story that we haven't heard, because Malik does tell us, she was my first girlfriend. I have no idea how I got her attention. I don't even know why she liked me. Like,
she had to have sex to have a baby.
This is true. But I think that there might be more circumstances that we just haven't gotten to
yet. I actually wondered that too.
Yeah. I think there's just something that we haven't gotten to. But that kind of wraps up.
What if there was a weird tailspin?
That's what I'm saying.
She was pregnant with someone else's kid.
Or like, I'm kind of curious about the character Jessica. Like, is she going to come into the picture?
She did move.
But I think there's more there. But with that kind of touches on everything we were going to talk about. Now we're going to move into our news and gossip from Miss Bethany Jean.
What's up, guys?
AfterBuzz TV News.
So, we are just reporting that Mandy Moore was gushing over her coworker Milo because he had his debut in directing his first episode of This Is Us, and she called it wildly impressive, and she was a very proud friend, and that she thought it was one of the best episodes of the entire series. And Milo, being very humble, said, my goal was just to serve the actors, serve the story, and serve the crew. And then he said that when he and Mandy need a break, that they eat candy together. That's just kind of cute.
It's a good escape.
Yes, that's awesome. And we know that, Milo did direct last week's episode, Storybook Love. Which,
there it is, Storybook Love. Sorry, guys.
He did such an amazing job. We talked about that. But just to have Mandy, again, reflect on it was huge.
Yeah.
So now, you guys, we are going to move into our special segment, which is our tear jerker moments. For those of you listening, that is on a scale of 1 to 5. 1 being, this was warm fuzzies. 5 being, as you hear the sound, complete and total sobbing. So with that, we are going to kick things off. Paris, I'm tossing it to you. Ooh. What is your tear jerker moment?
Oh my goodness, you know I never have too many tears, but so once again,
a corner.
I'm gonna say 1. And that is going to be, I'm going to say Mr. Lawrence and Jack's heart-to-heart at the end. Just because I felt like Jack really wants to be there for Randall. Yeah. He wants to understand. And I think that's, like, special within itself. So that was my little moment.
It's a good one.
All right, Bethany, your turn.
Okay, I'm going to say 1.
Okay.
Just for when Malik took Deja to see the lights. I thought that was a really special moment for her because I don't think Deja had a lot of special memories growing up and a lot of happy moments. And he managed to give her a happy day, the best day of her life, and then also touched on a happy memory from childhood. And that really touched me.
Okay.
That was sweet.
Nice.
All right, JB.
Well, as a guy, I bury my emotions.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to go with a 2. I really liked when after the elephant was released, Randall kind of stepped up to say his truth. And I thought that was a really cool moment to kind of show, like, where they were coming from in, like, very articulate words, as Randall does. You know, clearly he was admitting his faults a little bit, too. I mean, I think he wasn't, like, ready to say, like, hey, here's, like, where I'm wrong. But just, like, showing where he was at the table and where they're coming from allowed Malik's dad to kind of do the same. And I thought once their truths were both on the table, they could really have, like, some closure or, like, mend the situation.
All right, guys. So I am pulling not one, not two, not three, but four.
Oh.
I was at a four, and I'm taking Bethany's. Apparently, it affected me way more and deeper because I think it was just the whole cinematic effect of the scene where it's like the last spot on their date that Deja and Malik go, and it's the fact it's these lights, and she's looking there and she realizes immediately, and the whole time she's just talking about how she wants to remember her grandmother, she wants to have good memories, and the fact he takes her to there and it comes full circle, she has this memory back. I'm getting chills talking about it right now. I was on the verge. If they hadn't gone to a different scene, going back to the poetry scene with young Randall and Jack, I would have lost it. I really would have. There's just something about that, and I am a hopeless romantic as well, so the fact that he was so thoughtful and he knew the spot he needed to take her, it was beautiful. I loved it. I got to a four. I almost shed them. They really did. I was like waving my hands to get myself not to cry. All right, guys. So that is our special segment. And now we're going to get in the favorite part of the show. We're going to talk about our predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Yes. Who wants to kick it off?
Oh, my. All right, I will.
Okay.
So I know we've been every week predicting about Kevin and Cassidy. I do feel like...
Oh, here we go.
I know.
Here we go.
Okay, so this is my this week prediction on Kevin and Cassidy. I do think they're going to have a relationship, but it's not going to work out. Like, I think it's, as we see in the preview, Nikki's like, are you crazy? And I think they're going to have a very, like, toxic relationship, and it's actually going to be, one of them might spiral out of control.
Gotcha.
So that's my prediction.
All right. Anyone else?
My prediction is a really long form one. I think Deja and Malik are going to date probably for a while, and I think their families are going to become close friends.
Yeah.
And I think Malik might become in some way mentored by Randall, and I think he might go into be a councilman himself.
Awesome. All right, nice. JB, lay it down.
Yeah, I'm kind of going to piggyback on yours, Paris. I think that Kevin's been known to kind of get into relationships, like, too deep, too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he got married at, like, what, 17 or something? And then, like, married to her again. I don't know. He's a very, like, tough relationship situation. And I think because he kind of does get attached to people quickly, this is going to be the opposite. I think that, you know, the situation was different. He was just bringing, like, another girl back to bang her. I mean, excuse me, it'd be, like, rude, but that's, what she said.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that Cassie's been very vulnerable, too. So, I mean, they're both recovering addicts. They're both kind of in a weird place in their whole lives, personally and professionally.
Yeah.
So I think it was just a difficult time for both of them, and I feel like maybe Cassidy this time is going to be more emotional about it, maybe more confused, not that she's, like, in love with Kevin. I mean, she, like, laughed in his face the first time they had a meeting. But, yeah, I think hopefully he handles this situation a little bit more responsibly, a little bit more adult. Yeah. So I hope I see that side from Kevin, because he hasn't really shown that.
And, yes, I will agree with Bethany. Again, we're, like, on the same brainwave here, because mine also was about both Malik and Malik's family and Deja's family. I think that they will end up becoming great friends, and I think they'll actually end up learning a lot from one another about just kind of how their lives are different and how they can make each other better and make the community ultimately better. But with that, we are out of time. So I am your host, Haley Graves. You can find me on Instagram at Haley Graves with two S's. That's HaleyGraveSS. And on Twitter, Haley1, Graves2. Paris, let us know where you can find you.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Paris Rose, Paris with two R's.
Hey guys, you can find me on Instagram at Bethany Jean Official. That's Bethany with an IE.
What's up, guys? This is JB. You guys can find me all over the interwebs at Hey John Blake. That's HeyJohnBlake. See you guys later.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. We will see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.